Amen. You may be seated. If you would, turn your Bibles with me to Isaiah, the 9th chapter. For my veteran Christians, I want you to bear with me tonight, because I have to deal with something that may be simple to you. But when I found out I had to minister and praying, God wasn't saying nothing to me. And when usually we don't say anything to me, that means I got to go back to what I said before, to something I did before. And when I started mulling over, I had to do the commencement address for the training center graduation. And the subject I dealt with that night was willingness. And so when I started thinking about that, and again, that's when God started talking to me. So that's when I knew what I have to do. So I began to ask God why. And the reason why is because we have a lot of Christians that are into mechanics, the mechanics of the kingdom, into I need to do A, B, and C. I need to do 1, 2, and 3. And a lot of us that have been walking with God for a while, we understand what God wants from us. We understand that a lot of us made through situations, not because we knew what to do, it's because we simply love God. Amen. And so with the younger generation, they believe in mechanics. They believe in, give me Google, give me something to read, and give me steps, without any fellowship or relationship.
Right.
And so tonight I want to deal with the key to the apostolic. And I'm going to be saying some things that may seem simple to you, those who've been here a while, but I have to say these things because people listen at the archives, people listen. We got new people coming into the church all the time, and sometimes we say words, say buzzwords, we say words like apostolic. Somebody say, what in the world is the apostolic? I just got y'all. I know it's Jesus. Well, when I say the apostolic, I'm just simply meaning God's agenda. So those words can be used interchangeably. When you're talking about the apostolic, you're talking about God's agenda, which means when you're talking about an apostle is someone who carries the agenda of God. Yes. All right. So in Isaiah, now, I don't have to. One thing we learned here at Word of Life is that we don't have to be apostles.
Amen. That's right.
Because when you connect it to an apostle, you are apostolic. Meaning when you connected to somebody who is carrying God's agenda, that means you are a part of God's agenda and carrying God's agenda. And so that leads me to Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse. And it says in that 9th chapter, in the 6th verse, it says, for unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. Here's the key point. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of the hosts will perform this. So we see that it's talking about Jesus being born, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Now, being that the government is upon his shoulders and Jesus lives on the inside of us.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yes.
How many Jesus live on the inside of you? Those of you online, Jesus lives on the inside of you. You're born again. That means the government is on your shoulders.
Yes.
Now, before you panic and say, oh, the government is on my shoulders too. Well, Jesus did the hard part. Jesus did the hard part. Go with me to Matthew, the 11th chapter. He did the hard part. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Praise God.
Matthew, the 11th chapter, and the 27th verse. Now, watch what Jesus says here. Now, remember, now, Jesus is living on inside of us, all right? And the government is upon his shoulders. The government is upon his shoulders. He lives on inside of us. That means now we share responsibility in the government of God. All right. Verse 27, it says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. All right. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and watch this, learn of me. Another way is to use the word learn of me is to be informed, to know what I want. He said, learn of me. Why should we learn of him? For he say, I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What yoke and what burden? It's talking about the government of God. His agenda. What he's asking us to do. It is easy to accomplish these things. And the reason why it's easy to accomplish these things is because Jesus already paid the price for it to happen. Because Jesus already paid the price. That's where it says no foundation can be laid that was laid by Jesus Christ. Right? He's the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation. So the hard part has been done. So we within ourselves have to decide how easy it's going to be for us. Are you seeing this? We have to decide how easy it's going to be for us. Now, don't get me wrong. Satan is going to attempt to attack your life. He's going to try to throw roadblocks. But how you navigate them roadblocks, how you navigate those things can either be hard or it can be easy. See, in these last days, there are going to be all sorts of crazy things happening. And so we as children of God cannot be in survival mode. Other words, we cannot be spending time with God because we're trying to survive. See, most people, a lot of people come to God and stick with God and try to walk with God because they need him to survive. Right? But God never wanted us to be with him because of survival mode. He wanted us to be with him because we love him. Yes. Are you seeing this? So that's why the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in the center of the garden. He didn't hide it. He didn't put a barbed wire fence around it. He didn't put danger signs on it. He didn't do none of that. He just told them, don't touch the tree. The reason why he did that is because God wanted to give them a choice. A choice of what Adam and Eve, they had a choice of what they want to do. And so in the apostolic or the agenda of God or the kingdom of God, the number one characteristic that you must have is willingness. Isaiah 1:19, turn that with me because I want you to see what it says in Isaiah 1:19 and what it didn't say. Isaiah 1:19. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 1:19. Watch this. Isaiah 1:19. Watch this. It says, notice what it says, if ye be what? Willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Notice it said nothing about faith. It says, if you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? So, other words, Romans 10, 17 is telling us we know what to do based on hearing God's voice, right? You know what to do. But Isaiah 119 says, if you are willing and obedient, you must be willing before you ever get to faith. God ain't trying to get you. God ain't trying to work with people that don't want to work with him.
Right.
The first thing God does is get us willing. Turn with me to Genesis, the 12th chapter. The first and guess what? Your will is the only part of your soul that God would not mess with. God will mess with your memory. God will mess with your imagination. God will mess with your emotions. God will mess with your intellect and your reasoning. But he will not mess with your will. Because your will is where you prove to him you love him. Go to Genesis, the 12th chapter. I did say that, right? Genesis, the 12th chapter. Because God is not looking for talented people. He's not looking for gifted people. He's not looking for those people. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, now watch this. The first verse, he said, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All right? Now, why did God choose Abram? Because if you read further in Genesis, it talks about how Abram was worshiping the sun and the moon and all these different things. He heard the voice of God and he responded. Yes. He responded. And the more he began to hear the voice of God, the more he became willing. Because it wasn't because of Abram's talent. How many times did God told Abraham, don't go to Egypt. He went to Egypt. It wasn't because, matter of fact, God used Abram to open the door in the earth for Jesus to get here. You see how he did that? He did that by telling him to offer up his son. And when he was getting ready to offer up his son, the law of reciprocity kicked in. God said, because I got somebody in the earth realm to willing to offer up their son, that means now I have permission to offer up my son. What did it begin with? It began with willingness.
Yeah.
So a couple of questions I'll ask you tonight. My first question is, are you willing to be synonymous with the agenda of God? Are you willing to be synonymous with the agenda of God? When somebody sees God moving, they think about you.
That's good.
when they see you, they think about God moving. See, are you willing to be? See, Abram was synonymous. So because Abraham was synonymous, other words, he said, God, I want to do what you asked me to do. I'm willing to do what you asked me to do. God, even if it goes against what I desire, I will take time to rearrange my thoughts. See, I'm getting ahead of myself. Jesus, go to Matthew's. I think it's Matthew's the. Let me find it. Matthew's 14th, I think. 14th chapter. No, it's not the 14th chapter. I think it's the 26th chapter. Let me get there. Matthew 26. Let me find it right quick because I want you to see something. Matthew 26 chapter. I'm wrong. Mark, the 14th chapter. It says in Matthew's, but I like it better in Mark, the 14th chapter. Mark 14, verse 36. Are you willing to be synonymous with the apostolic or God's agenda? Are you interchangeable? See, that takes a willing heart. You know, one of the things that we talk about in LTMA with ministers and dealing with ministers, with preachers of the gospel, ministers, those that are leaders, fivefold ministry gifts, most of them have A-type personalities. Other words, they're leaders. And so having an A-type personality means you're a go-getter. You're going to make things happen. You're going to get it done. And a lot of times you get a bunch of A-type personalities together, it could be some headbutting going on. Right? And so when an apostle gives us instructions, sometimes it may seem like the instructions are simple. Like he gave us the other day as ministers, he said, I want you to read Proverbs 8 and 9 every day. I think he said for the next 30 days, read them every day. Right? And so, you know, an A-type personality, somebody who have read Proverbs 8 and 9, they'd be like, well, I've read Proverbs 8 and 9. I don't really need to read Proverbs 8 and 9 anymore. And so one of the statements that we have in LTMA is that you must be willing. See, because if you got to force people to do things, you're going to wind up losing them anyway. If Chantel has to force me to love her, that's a problem.
Yep, that's right.
I got to want to. Saying it's no different with God. I have to want to. And the want to doesn't come from God. The want to comes from me. The Holy Spirit will help me get there, but it's ultimately up to me that I want to. See, so I can't push against God's agenda and then think God's going to do something for me. I have to be willing. I can't just go through the motions. I can't go through step one, step two, step three, and because I get to step three, I'm there. I have to be willing. Watch this. Here's why Jesus has laid the foundation. This is why he's the chief cornerstone. In Matthew, the 14th chapter, the 36th verse. And Jesus gave us a key of how to control our will. All right, we're going to see this. Let's see what Jesus did first in the 36th verse of the 14th chapter of Mark. I said Matthew's again on. I apologize. Mark, I saw the Bible's turning. Thank y'all so much for bearing with me. Mark, the 14th chapter, 36th verse. And he said, Abba, Father, for all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. What cup? The cross. You finna go to the cross. All right. He said, take away this cup from me. Here's the key word. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. Now, what helped Jesus get in that frame of mind to say, God, if you can do this some other way, I'm open to all your ideas. But if not, I'm willing to do your will. Go back to verse 32. Now watch this. And there came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. Mm-hmm. And he taken with him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy and said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. So it seems like Jesus was hesitant about going to the cross. But my question is, what did he do to direct his will? He prayed. See, this is why Apostle tells us to pray. This is why Apostle tells us to always spend time with God, always praying in the Holy Spirit, because there are going to be some things that God asks us to do that makes us uncomfortable. And the only thing gets us from being uncomfortable to comfortable is the Holy Spirit with our will. See, there are going to be some things that we're going to have to do in this world system as it begins to crumble around us that's going to make us uncomfortable. And if you are not, what willingness comes from spending time with God, getting to know God, understanding what God wants, understanding what he's trying to accomplish. Because Jesus, he said, I don't do nothing but the Father tell me to do. I don't do nothing but the Father tell me to do. And I don't say what the Father, I only say what the Father tells me to say. Other words, Jesus was so in tune with the Father that even in his natural state, when he was trying to find another way to do something, he went back to God and went back to communicating with God and said, God, okay, what do you really want to do? Because whatever you really want to do, that's what I want to do. Are you seeing this? See, Jesus was not synonymous with God's agenda. Abram was synonymous with God's agenda. Synonymous to the point that when God said, asked them to do something that was uncomfortable to them, they were willing to do it. Are you seeing this? See, Abraham wasn't chosen because of his talents, because of his gifts, because of how smart he was, because he straight walked out of a pagan world to hearing the voice of God. And God said, I'm going to make you a blessing. Are you synonymous with the apostolic? Can somebody see you the way you carry yourself? The way you talk, can they see that you're synonymous with the agenda of God? Are you seeing this? Second question I want to ask you. Are you going to claim to be the Son of God, or are you going to be the Son of God? Because see, there's a difference. Go with me to John, the first chapter. John, the first chapter. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, most of us in here are sons. We are being the sons of God. But there's some that have accepted Christ as their Savior, but still thinking like, and getting results like they're carnal. That shouldn't be. John, the first chapter, in the 12th verse, it says, but as many as received him, many received Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Jesus said, by you believing in me, accepting me as your personal Savior, I'm giving you the power to be. I'm giving you power to be. What that means? That means, yes, you're going to heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're going to heaven, but if you just rely on the power to be the Son of God without going any further, then you're going to walk through this whole earth, your whole time on earth, the power to be the Son of God, but looking like somebody else's child. All right, now watch this. Romans 8. Romans 8th chapter. Verse 14. Romans 8. Verse 14. Now, watch this. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit, they are, so that means there'll be some outward display. The outward display comes from the leading. Now, have you, how many of y'all have ever walked a dog before? You've walked a dog before, right? How many of y'all had, you walked the dog, or the dog was walking you? What I mean by the dog is walking you. You going one way and the dog pulling you another way. You seeing this? So it's hard to lead that dog because the dog is not willing. See, it's hard for us to be the son of God, if we're not willing to be led. See, before you even get to faith. Because what faith does, faith tells you what to do. But it don't make no sense for God to tell you what to do and you don't want to do it. So willingness has to be there first. See, that's why I'm at you. Are you willing to be synonymous with the agenda of God? Are you willing to, whatever he says to you, do it? See, because then if that's the case, then it's easier for you to communicate with the Holy Spirit. Watch what Jesus said in John the 16th chapter. John the 16th chapter. John the 16th chapter, Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he got down to this part in the 13th verse. He says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, meaning the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into, he will do what?
Guide.
He will guide you.
Yes,
you can't be guided nowhere you don't want to go. Notice he ain't doing you like you did that dog. when you wanted to go one way and that dog was going the other way, what you did? You yanked that. Some of y'all got a choker chain to pinch him. Make sure he or she go where you want to go. Got that choker chain, pinch that neck, they get their mind right, they go that way. The Holy Spirit ain't got none of that on us. He ain't got none of that on us. He will guide. Meaning, which is connected to Romans 8:14, that you have to be led.
Yes.
Led means this is somewhere I want to go.
Yes.
This led means that even if I get uncomfortable where the Holy Spirit is leading me, all I'm gonna do is spend time with the Holy Spirit to get understanding and follow him. Because
yes,
watch this, watch what he says. He says, he will guide you into all truth, right? For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. So here it is, Jesus is telling us that the Holy Spirit is going to guide us into all truth. That's what he means, come and learn of me.
Yes.
For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So other words, Jesus living on inside of us, when he living on outside of us and the government is on his shoulder, is on our shoulders too, we're the ones that make it difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
We the ones make it difficult. All right. Go, watch this. Watch what Romans says. Go to Romans 8 chapter. Come on. Go to Romans 8 chapter. Romans 8 chapter. Romans 8 chapter, verse 4. All right. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Well, let me go to verse 3 because that statement is a continuation. I want you to see what's happening. For what the law could not do, verse 3, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after. You're going after.
Yes, sir.
That's willingness.
Yes.
they that go, that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. Verse 6, here's how we make it hard. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So the carnal mind is a mind that's not willing. I take it further than that. The carnal mind is somebody who loves God but don't want to do it God's way. Because they got people that love God, but they're still trying to do it. They're trying to get God to buy into their plans, into their way of life. This is why he said in Isaiah 1 and 18, come let us reason together. And say, though your sins... Now, the word sins there in that case means your actions. Though your actions be as scarlet, right? He said, when you put your mind with me, I'm going to come in. The Holy Spirit will come in and begin to rearrange your thoughts. Begin to rearrange, help you rearrange your will. So that your actions will come white, become white as wool.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Then it goes to verse 20 in Isaiah. In Isaiah, the first chapter, he said, if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. That just simply means if you refuse and rebel, you're going to make things hard.
Right. Yes, sir.
See, life, even when you face challenges in your life, the challenges in your life are easy. Yeah, even when you face challenges in your life, the challenges in your life become easy because of your willingness. Because when you're willing, it's easier to talk to somebody who want to be talked to. See, it's easier for God to talk to somebody who want to talk to him. It's easier for God to give mysteries to somebody who want to be with him. See, it's not somebody who shows up only when they're in trouble.
Yeah.
Somebody who only shows up when they need something.
Yeah.
But somebody who shows up and sometimes just show up and say, God, I don't want nothing. God, I don't need nothing. God, I just want to be with you. I just want to see what you're saying to me today. God, I just want to be here to tell you how much I love you.
Yeah.
See, there should be more days like that than days where, God, I need to hear your voice. I got to hear God. I need you to speak the words. God speaking to my life. There ought to be more days when you come to God and say, God, I just want to be here with you.
Yes.
Are you seeing this?
Yes,
see, that's when you make the shift. When you are led by the Holy Spirit, that's where you make the shift from being, having the power to be, power to become, to being a son or daughter of God. And that's when I'm not talking about, and watch this. I'm not talking about being deep. I got a better word. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about you simply talking to God and spending time with God like you spend with everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Just like you call somebody on the phone and talk to them and have a good conversation. When the last time you got on the phone and called God? And have a good conversation. God, you talking to God and you being quiet and let God talk to you.
Come on, sir.
Are you seeing this? See, willingness is so important because, watch this, willingness will keep you out of disobedience. Willingness would keep you out of disobedience because when you wanting to please God,
right,
you move slower.
Right. That's right.
When you want to please God and you ain't sure, you sit there until you get sure.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's right.
Are you seeing this?
Yeah.
See, when you're willing and you're more concerned about what God is thinking than the results. Oh, I'm going to say that again. You're thinking more about what God thinks than the results.
Yes.
See, that's Matthew 6:33. Say, seek ye first God's ways of thinking.
Yes, sir.
And then when you think, get seek God's way of thinking, doing them his way right. That's righteousness.
Right.
See, a lot of people think righteousness is just a position. Why are you positioned? You're positioned in line with God so that you could do things his way. That's the purpose of righteousness. Righteousness ain't just for you to be saying, I'm the righteous of God because I'm the righteous of God. No, I'm the righteous of God because then I can do things in the earth realm like God.
Amen.
I can behave in the earth realm like God because I am aligned with God. So you're seeking first God's ways of thinking and his ways of doing things and his way of doing it right. And he said all these things would be added unto you. So willingness is important. If you're not, if God has to force you to do something. Sometimes God will tell us things we don't want to do. That's when you take up the notes from Jesus. Jesus, you got to get into your Garden of Gethsemane. Get into your Garden of Gethsemane and begin to talk to God and say, God, okay, let's reason together. See, God don't mind you coming reason with him, because if he had a problem with you reasoning with him, he would never told you to come reason with him. He know your feeble mind ain't gonna understand everything he wants you to do. So that's why he said, come reason with me. When you reason with him, that's when faith comes.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
When faith comes, that's when you have the courage to do.
Yes, sir.
Are you seeing this? So, are you willing to be synonymous with the agenda of God? Are you willing to have the power only to become the Son of God? Or are you willing to be the Son of God, right? Here's a doozy. The third question I want to ask you, are you willing to cooperate in God's agenda with other people? With other people. Do you play well with others? Or God talks to you and you alone? Go with me to 1 Samuel 22. First Samuel 22, the first verse, it says, David, meaning going to be King David, therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and they were with him about 400 men. Now, there's another time further along when those same men got around David and said, David, you know what God wants. We want what God wants, so we are yours. Here, they were in debt, distress, and discontentment. Now, why did they gather themselves around David? It wasn't because he was David. They gathered themselves around David because David carried the agenda of God. Right? So because David carried the agenda of God. Now, the question is, why did David carry the agenda of God? Because he was willing. So in order for when David began to carry the agenda of God, those people surrounded David because they were willing to carry the agenda of God. So when they began to when everybody began to carry the agenda of God, things begin to happen. I think it's in 1 Chronicles 28. Yeah, when you see those same group of people, David started coming. David says, it's time for us to build a house of God. And David gave. It was in divine order. David gave. Then these people that surrounded David gave. Then the people gave. Other words, and when they gave this time, you didn't find no debt. You ain't had no distress. And you ain't had no discontentment. Are you willing to, in God's agenda, cooperate with other people? Because without, that's why we are the body of Christ. This is why we are the body of Christ, because God, each one of us carries a grace that we need from each other. And only the Holy Spirit can properly orchestrate it. See, that's why the Holy Spirit connects you to the, that's why the Holy Spirit connects you to this apostolic house. This is not the only apostolic house, but it's the reason why God connected you to this apostolic house. You listen to that, internet? The reason he connected you to this apostolic house, so that, because there's something in you that God wants to cultivate.
That's right. Yes.
See, those people gathered themselves around David because David was able to cultivate them and create a culture.
Right.
They created a culture in which God can move whenever he got ready. You had everybody in that culture that were, matter of fact, like this, the majority in that culture were willing. So therefore, anybody who came into that culture that weren't willing had two choices. Either you get willing or you get to keep them moving. Are you seeing this? See, that's why covenant is so important. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that we ought to forsake not the assembling of ourselves. Why do you think the assembly of ourselves is important? To keep each other accountable.
Right, yes, sir.
You know, the reason why they gathered themselves around David, they gathered themselves around David because they knew by themselves they weren't going nowhere. Well, and David knew by himself he couldn't accomplish everything he needed to accomplish. So they get together and have synergy.
Yeah, that's good.
Everything began to move in the right direction.
Thank you.
Are you seeing this?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I receive. Begin to move in the right direction. And so, do you play well with other people? I want to keep it simple. Do you play well with other people? If you don't play well with other people, you need to do some, check your heart. Check your thought process. Because God is not going to use you by yourself. Go with me to Ephesians, the third chapter. I'm almost finished. Ephesians, the third chapter. And I'm going to get to the last question I want to ask you. Ephesians, the third chapter. Watch this. A lot of people read Ephesians 3:20 and they personalize 3:20. But there's one word that just won't let you keep it personalized. One word. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Actually, it's two words. According to the power that worketh in You mean to tell me that the Apostle Paul saying more will happen to me when I'm connected to the body?
Yes.
When I'm connected to the body and I'm adding my energy, synergy, synonymous energy. Are you willing to be synonymous with the agenda of God? Synonymous energy. When I add my energy to a group of people that have the same, we have the same common denominator. All we want is what God wants. We are all willing. You mean to tell me it'll create momentum in my life where more things will begin to happen to me because I decided to lay down my life? Because I decided to lay down my life. What it means, that word would say life is talking about psyche. Can't spell it. I know I can't spell it. P-S-Y-C-H-E, I think. Look it up in the concordance. But it's actually talking about your soul. When you lay down your soul, lay down your will, and take up his will. When you lay down your will and take up his will, then you'll have eternal life. Not talking about living forever. It's talking about the results of eternal life. Things that go along with eternal life. The other words, the life that you think you're going to have in heaven, you can have it now.
Yes, sir.
Because you laid down your will. When you lay down your will, you find it that it's easy to play with others. See, you find people you find people who is hard to play with, they always run into the issues. They always got problems. They play victim all the time, or they always got a chip on their shoulder, and they don't play well with people. No. You have to be willing to cooperate. You have to be willing to cooperate. If you're not willing to cooperate, then, Miriam and Aaron wasn't willing to cooperate until God got their mind right. Moses had the plan, right? And they got upset at Moses because Moses wasn't doing everything that they wanted him to do. We're not getting all that, but he didn't do what all they wanted to do. And so they got unwilling and they would stop wanting to cooperate. Then God got their mind right. And the reason why that happened to them is because they were so high up in the ranks. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Willingness is so important. Last question. This is the question. This is a good question. Are you willing to let God love you? Psalms 35:27. Let them shout for joy. The favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God is willing. He's already proven it. He said, the Apostle Paul said, God so willingly offered up his own son.
Yes.
How much more is he willing to give us?
Amen.
Hebrews 10:36. Watch this. Hebrews 10:36. See, a lot of people think God is Santa Claus. No, he's not. God is not Santa Claus. He has accountability in place. He has requirements. Here in Hebrews 10:36. You see, God wants to love on us. Well, watch what he says. For ye have need of patience that before, after you've done the will of God, after you've done the will of God, after you've done what God has wanted, you can't get to what God wants if you ain't willing to go there. See, once again, willing precedes faith. Willing precedes faith because what it says, without faith is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's Hebrews 11:6, right? I got to be willing before I even get to faith. Do you see how the two go together? God don't want to deal with no rambunctious people. Because rambunctious people make things harder.
Yeah.
God got to keep coming to you to convince you to love him. Now, if God got to keep convincing you and forcing you to love him, you're no longer his son or daughter. You're his slave. God made us in his image. God made us in his image so that we can choose. See, what I'm trying to get you to see is that if you just start from being willing, what it means to be willing. God, I want to know you more. I want to know you better. God, I want to see God, why you brought me here? God, what you want with me? God, what do you see in my life? Here's what I don't understand. God, here's what I find confusing. And he wants you to come and learn of him. Because if he can get you to come and learn of him, you could be just like Abram. Come straight out of paganism, straight into the kingdom of God. And God begin to love on him, and he begin to love on you, and you begin to love on him, and things begin to change in your life. Willingness is so important. Hey, are you willing to let God love on you? Psalms 37 and 4 says, delight yourself. Delight. That means take pleasure. That means be excited. That means this is something you want to do. Delight yourself in the Lord. And what did he say he'll do?
Give you the desires of your heart.
Amen. God has made life easy. We make it hard. How many times, look back, all right, go ahead, hindsight is 2020, right? Look back over your life and some of the things that you went through, that God walked you through, and you look back and you like, man, that wasn't as hard as I thought it was. Some situation you thought was impossible to get through, when you was in the front of it, you were like, oh Lord. But because you were able to communicate and spend time with God, and God began to walk you through that, he began to walk you through the valley of the shadow of death. God was able, it all happened because you were first willing. You were first willing. So watch this, instead of having to get yourself willing, just stay willing. When you stay willing, life becomes a whole lot easier. Listen, this world system is supposed to crumble around us because it's the devil's. He can't hold nothing together. So in order for us to thrive, not survive, thrive when everybody else seems like they're struggling and trying to survive, it begins with willing. Because when you're willing, look, I'm closing here. 1 Chronicles 20, you have to turn that, I got to tell you the story. 1 Chronicles 20, King Jehoshaphat, they had, I think it was five armies, right? I think it was five armies. Five armies were coming against them. And he turned around, he said, Lord, we don't know what to do. Now, wait a minute. Catch this. He said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That means they knew where to look. Which means they had been there already. This ain't something where they come up, Lord, we don't know what to do, and we don't know where to go, and we just don't know. No, he said, God, we don't know what to do, but which eliminated not knowing what to do. The word but eliminated not knowing what to do because their eyes, they were willing. Now catch this. God ain't dropped no fire from heaven that time. He ain't brought no thunderstorms. He ain't done nothing. He told them, I want y'all to put the praises out first in the front. Now, wait a minute now. Put the praises out front. What did that represent? That represented that they wanted to be with God. They were willing to sing his praises. They were willing to spend, they were willing to be in his presence. They were willing to be there with him. They were willing. And so when they were willing, that's when God came and set ambushment. And when he said ambushment, they realized what had happened. Then they spent 3 days. It all began with willingness. See, you ain't got to know what to do. You ain't got to know what to do. See, that's why we make life hard, because we trying to figure out what to do. We're trying to figure out what to do. But if you could just stay willing. If you stay willing, then God will tell you what to do. If you stay in his presence, God will tell you what to do. God knew Satan was coming. Matter of fact, it'll get to a point to where Satan will try to
Satan will begin to, he'll try to attack you already knowing that he ain't going to win this because he say, oh, she going to do what God tell her to do. He going to do what God tell her to do. Funny story. Just came back from watching Layla play. And they won a berth to the national championship. They're going to play in the World Series. In the last game to get to the World Series, thank you, to get to the World Series, they were down 6-2 in the bottom of the fourth. Layla gathered them together and said, listen, we better this team. Let's go make the plays and let's go win this game, right? So they got to a point to where the first baseman, they went in the field, the first baseman was on first base, which is on the first base line. The dugout, the visitor team dugout is on the first base line. Laid them in the third base line, in the third base dugout. So they started coming back. They were down 6-2. They scored 3 runs in the fifth inning. Made it 6-5. God set it up so beautifully because Layla has been ministering to these girls all year long. Some of them got born again. Their lives have changed. She got them. She started a Bible study with them. So God been using that area. So they got down. They set it up beautifully. In the top and the bottom of the seventh. If they don't do nothing now, they don't win. They down 6-5. Right. They scored 3 runs in the bottom of the sixth. Bottom of the seventh. They down 6-5. Macy come up the bat, then Layla. Macy hits a single, right? Layla comes behind her, hits a shot to right center. Watch this. The ball, the young lady went to approach the ball bounced over her glove, allowed Macy to score. Layla's on second base, right? Next girl walk, next girl strike out, third girl comes up, hits a single, and Layla comes around and scores. So God set up to where Layla drove in a tying run, and she was the winning run, right? So God getting all the glory from this, right? After the game, they interviewed her. I'm talking about willingness. They interviewed her, interviewed one young lady, and the one that hit the game-winning shot. They interviewed Macy, the first one to lead off the inning. She said, "Listen, we knew we had it. We knew God was with us." We knew God was with us. We know if we just stay in God's hands, he was going to take care of us. And to him, all be the glory. Right? So they interviewed Layla. Layla said, we stuck together as a team. And listen, God helped us today. We needed help. He helped us today, right? So the next day, I'm talking to Chantel. Chantel talking to Macy's mom. And my point is to tell you that when you be willing and obedient, you will have your enemies begin to confess for you what's going to happen. Macy's on first base on defense, and she can hear for 2 innings. The coach in the opposing coach in the dugout saying, y'all, 6 runs ain't enough. 6 runs ain't enough. He's steady saying this. 6 runs ain't enough. 6 runs ain't enough. He's steady confessing our victory. He walks around, 6 runs ain't enough, y'all. Y'all got 6 runs ain't enough. 6 runs ain't enough. It just ain't enough. And sure enough, 6 runs were not enough. So the one that was opposing us was helping us to victory. See, when you are willing and obedient, God will cause you. Why do you think Romans 8:28 is in the Bible? All things work together. All things, meaning the good and the bad, work together for your good. It begins with willingness. If you can just begin with willingness, you'll have it to where you're in a situation and Satan be like, oh, she gonna listen to God. And he'll quit. He listened to God and he will quit. He'll back off. Because he know what you think happened when them 7 sons of Sceva. Them demons recognized. Them demons looking for certain people. He said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? If it had been Paul or Jesus or anybody else who knew their rights, them 7 sons, them devils, they'd have quit. Because of, are you synonymous with their gender, right? Are you willing to be the Son of God? Not just claim it. Be the Son of God. Are you willing to cooperate with others in the agenda of God? And are you willing to allow God to love on you? All of it begins with willing. You may not know a whole lot of the Bible, You may not know a lot of verses, but if you can just be willing, willing to spend time with God, willing to give him time to speak in your life on a daily basis, willing to let God into your atmosphere.
Yes,
open the door for him and talk to God and let God know, God, I'm here for you.
Yes, sir.
God, I know you here. I know you're here for me, but God, I'm here for you.
Yes.
And you begin to do that, and God will walk you through every situation. He'll walk you through life. He'll walk you through every difficult situation just simply because you are willing.
Yes.